Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barty, Washington. Today's Wednesday, January 17th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Comoros' president is re-elected to a 4-5-year term following Saturday's polls.
Actually, if you see the figures, it's only 10% of the population who voted him, who elected him. 16% of participation, which is less than the voters in one island.
Women candidates in the DRC are unhappy with provisional legislative election results. Liberia's Supreme Court orders a rerun of a district election involving the former Speaker of the House of Representatives. Malawi's Catholic bishops reject the blessing of same-sex union. Ugandan opposition parties accuse the government of detaining homeless people ahead of Friday's Noeline Movement Summit.
It's a facelift. Would be a good thing, but let it not be to the detriment of ordinary folks. But also, as we have been saying, don't wait for visitors for you to clean your house.
And UNICEF commends Zimbabwe government for settling the legal age of consent. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. President Azali Assoumani of Comoros has been re-elected to his 4-5-year term following Sunday's presidential election, according to Reuters. Results published by the National Electoral Commission late Tuesday show Assoumani received 62.97% of the vote. Assoumani pushed through a controversial constitutional amendment in 2018 to remove consecutive term limits. Fahmi Tabit is a member of the Sentinels of the Polls, a civil society group that organizes election monitoring in Comoros. He tells me the opposition can challenge the result, but they know that Assoumani appointed the judges and members of the Electoral Commission.
The participation rate is 16% for the presidential. And as you know, it was a double election because also there was an election for the governors. And the average in the three islands of the participation rate for the governors is around 50%. So how can you explain that in a single election where they give you two ballots, one for the governors and one for the president, and then the people voted for the governors who don't really have any power and didn't vote for the president? So actually, if you see the figures, it's only 10% of the population who voted him, who elected him.
What can you tell us about the opposition candidates who ran against President Assoumani? What are they saying about the results?
Actually, for them, there was no elections. Because of all what happened on Sunday, they say that we cannot consider it like elections. Before the results, but I think that now they saw that there was no elections, you know. 16% of participation, which is less than the voters in one island. So, I mean, it's a joke.
What is President Assoumani's term now? How long is he going to be serving?
For 5 years. As you know, he changed the constitution in 2018. So now he has like 5 years.
The opposition had alleged that there was incidents of ballot stuffing, but we know that the Elections Commission has denied that.
Yes, they have denied, but you know, there are a lot of videos on Facebook, and we can see, like, on Sunday, there was, like, just images of that, you know, and the Sentinel des Urnes, you know, our organization, Karalala, and people from the organization took a lot of videos of those stuffing of the militaries who came and took the ballots and all those things, you know, like 20 or 30 or maybe 50 videos on that.
Is there a way for the opposition to lodge a complaint about the results? Can they go to court?
Yes, they can go to court, you know, legally they can go to court. But we know that it's the president who designed the members of that court. Like he designed also the members of the National Electoral Commission. So, yeah, I think that they will go for it.
Fahmi Tabit is a member of the Sentinels of the Polls, a civil society group that organizes election monitoring in Comoros. He was speaking with us from the capital, Moroni. In the wake of the provisional results published by the Electoral Commission of the Democratic Republic of Congo's December 20, 2023 national legislative elections, a careful analysis reveals a glaring imbalance in women's representation. Zanem Neti Zaide has details from Goma.
Chantal Faida was not elected in her constituency in the city of Goma, despite her wish to save the people. She claims to be one of the victims of the stereotype faced by Congolese women. Faida says that several factors explain the failure of several female candidates like herself. The first factor is culture. She says that from a culture point of view, most Congolese voters have not yet understood that women have the same capacity as men to be eligible. Isabelle Pendeza, president of the Collectif des Associations Féminines de Développement, a women's organization, expresses her disappointment at the low turnout of women in the legislative elections. She points to the lack of financial support for women candidates. Isabelle says she is also disappointed about the low number of elected women. It's true that a lot of women fought, a lot of women got involved and ran their campaigns cleanly. She says this failure can be explained by the lack of sufficient support for women. She says that many political parties did not support women financially in the election campaigns. Elected candidate Eric Bonapua acknowledges that the underrepresentation of women and condemns the situation. He calls for equality and promises legislative action to remedy the situation once he is in parliament. He says he has noticed that the population has not trusted the female candidates, and even the women have not elected women like themselves. This is something he condemns. He says he would like women to know that they too are equal to men. If he must propose a law for equality between men and women, he'll do it. The December 20th elections in Congo revealed the persistence challenges for women's participation in politics. Cultural barriers and lack of support are some of the obstacles to overcome in order to achieve equitable representation. For VOA Africa, I'm Zalem Nechizaidi.
3 months ago, Liberia's Elections Commission declared Anthony Williams the winner of the Speaker over the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Beaufort Chambers, in Plibo's Sodican District No. 2. Chambers appealed to the Supreme Court, citing several discrepancies, including violence by the traditional people, who he said brought the country devil to town during the counting process. The court ordered the commission to rerun the election at two polling places in the district. Campaign for the rerun begins today, Wednesday, and voting will take place January 25th. Williams tells me that while he is not too prepared financially, he and his supporters are psychologically ready to take on the former speaker.
As a matter of fact, the National Election Commission is the institution that is close with the authority to give us the to start campaigns when it comes to electionary process or processes. So, yes, in a much that they have come up with the calendar event or timetable, we just have to be prepared because time is not in our favor again, you know, after 4 months and there is a runoff election. So time is not in our favor. So whatsoever the National Election Commission will give, we just have to go by it, even though the election is so germane because of the time after 4 months of election and then they come up with another rerun. So, yes, I'm prepared to get into the campaign process to January 17th.
Now, preparation comes in many forms. Financially, are you also prepared?
For me, without finance, like I said, the last election, I ran the election with empty hands. The money that was coming was not coming like a real campaign money, and our friends who was, you know, assisting me. And it is the same thing I would use to go into it. So financially, I know I am prepared, meaning I got friends, I got supporters, I got, I know, our tribal people. They are contributing whatsoever they can have because this victory is not all about me, it's about the people. So the people themselves in the district are also caught in because it is that decision that is under attack by the Supreme Court of the Republic of Liberia by overturning that decision. So I'm being asked to go back to the district so that we all can go back to the pool on the 25th of this month. But psychologically, we are prepared and our people are ready to enter the process. That's the most thing you should always look for in an election process. psychologically, when the people are balanced, they are willing to go into the process, the finances will come later. Be as it may, once your people are on your side, they are willing to support you, the finances will come later.
Now, you mentioned the Supreme Court calling for a rerun of your election. What do you make of that decision itself?
That decision by the Supreme Court, it is counterproductive. That decision, it is embedded or it is engulfed with conflict, because that Supreme Court, they are intended to bring confusion in Plateau Southern District. And if we don't careful, the Supreme Court of the Republic of Liberia will plunge the country into its serious chaotic activities if we continue to revert to them for a decision that has been critically analyzed and declared by the National Election Commission.
But Anthony, hold on, because the court found that something went on during the election, particularly including the something called the country devil. What's your comment?
The Supreme Court is not informed about the actuality on the field. They are just seated at the Supreme Court. They don't know the technical know-how of electionary processes, unlike the National Election Commission. That information that they provided for which they say we should go for rerun is false and misleading. For example, they say we should go for rerun on the basis of devil came and disrupted the election in all sorts of things that led to chaos. Now, the total number of votes in Old Solokin was 962 persons that registered at the pool in Old Solokin. The president of the Republic of Liberia on the ticket of CDC, President George Banner Weah, won the highest vote in that same polling center. It is that same center that I won Mr. Papa Chimos. Now, they are saying devil king and disrupted the place that led into chaotic something. How come the president of the Republic of Liberia, George Weah, won a higher vote in the same center? How possible can that be? So that decision from the Supreme Court, I categorize it as a decision for the better of the devil. And I'm clear with that. I'm going back to this election with a heavy heart. I'm going back to this election disappointed. But be as it may, as I go to the election, I will pull out a victory and come back and conduct a comprehensive press conference on the action of the Supreme Court of Liberia that will go down in the annals of history of this country.
Anthony Williams is going into a rerun election with former Liberian Speaker of the House of Representatives, Beaufall Chambers. He was speaking with me from the Liberian capital, Monrovia. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Wednesday, January 17th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Opposition parties in Uganda are accusing the government of detaining homeless people and destroying roadside stands as part of a cleanup campaign ahead of this Friday's Non-Aligned Movement Summit. According to the Uganda Monitor, authorities warned their vendors that some of their businesses were illegal and improperly constructed. The government says it is expecting about 4,000 visitors, including over 50 heads of state. Joel Senyonyi is the new leader of the opposition in Uganda's parliament. He tells me that whatever the government wants to do for the guests should not be done to the detriment of ordinary taxpaying Ugandans.
Obviously, Mr. Museveni's government is trying to put up a good face to the international community. So they are doing what they are calling cleaning up the city and so on. So there's these homeless people, street children and all who have been bundled up, you know, some beaten up in the process, taken to no one knows where. These are people that were not paid attention to. We have been making a clarion call and saying, these are Ugandans too, can we attend to them? Nothing of the sort has been done. But now, because they are guests in town, they bundled them up and arrested them and took them, we don't know where. But also, there's ordinary folks who have, you know, small houses, kiosks, you know, where they sell merchandise and so on. A number of those have been locked up. Others have actually been demolished, you know, especially those along the roads. They've demolished them, saying they looked bad, you know, they'll not look nice for the visitors. But these are properties that belong to ordinary people who are making out, you know, some little money. They've not been compensated as all of this illegality gets to happen. Others have been told, you know, paint your houses, you know, put pavers, put new roofing and so on. They don't have the money to do that. So it's a ridiculous thing. It's sad that people have to be treated this way just because we have guests in town.
Our understanding is that the government has warned people that some of their businesses were illegal structures.
That's not true at all. It begs the question, why now? Why are you doing it now? They've been there for several years. If it's an illegal business, why do you keep collecting taxes from it for so many years? And all of a sudden now you're breaking it down and saying it's illegal. So it's a ridiculous double standard. That's just an excuse. Many of these actually have title to their properties, to their land and all their properties. So this is just an excuse, really.
Can it be said that every city needs a facelift, especially when, according to the government, you are expecting 4,000 visitors, including 50 heads of state, coming to Uganda?
Two things. Number one, it's a facelift. Would be a good thing, but let it not be to the detriment of ordinary folks. But also, as we have been saying, don't wait for visitors for you to clean your house. Much of Kampala is riddled with potholes. The roads are in terrible shape. They've now only tried to fix a few of the roads where the guests will be passing. So why do you do these things just for the visitors? Do the ordinary Ugandan citizens who pay taxes, don't they matter? That's one. But two, whatever is to be done for the guests should not be done to the detriment of the ordinary people. A conference such as this one should be to the benefit of Ugandans who will be there selling some merchandise, selling some souvenirs, doing some work, you know, even if it's actually not connected to the summit, but their, you know, work progresses, their business lives continue. But now, if a conference which is meant to benefit citizens is now tearing them down in many ways, especially economically, that's a problem.
Joel Senyonyi is the leader of the opposition in Uganda's parliament. He was speaking with us from the capital, Kampala. The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, is commending President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government for setting the age of consent at 18 years in Zimbabwe. According to the new law, anyone who has sex with a child under 18 faces up to 10 years in jail. As Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare, children's rights groups are hoping the law will be enforced to deter pedophiles.
In a statutory instrument, President Emmerson Mnangagwa raised the age of consent from 16 to 18 years. Violators could spend 10 years in jail for breaking the new law. UNICEF Zimbabwe country's representative, Dr. Tajudin Oyewale, said the new law is very welcome.
This legislation has come to complement the amendment to the Marriages Act that prohibits the marriage of anyone less than the age of 18. We as UNICEF see these two legislation as critical legal instruments that will come towards ensuring that our children, especially the adolescent girl, are safe and protected. Together with the government, partners, donors, parents and community, our resolution towards ensuring a safe environment for our children is absolute, and we appreciate the opportunity that we have with this improvement in the legislative environment.
Ekenia Chifamba is the director of Shamwari Inwanaskana, a girls' rights group in Zimbabwe. She hopes the new law will now deter pedophiles from their misdemeanors.
We were disgruntled in instances where we would see perpetrators being given penalties that were not favorable, where we would see some of them even being given community service whilst the girls would have to do with the key issues that mattered, which included their health. Others would go for backyard abortions, issues of their mental health, the burden of taking care of their young ones whilst they also need parental support.
Some girls had to drop out of school after becoming pregnant, as most learning institutions in Zimbabwe do not accept expecting mothers as students. Columbus Mavunga, VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Catholic bishops in Malawi have joined other African bishops in defying the recent Vatican declaration allowing the blessing of same-sex unions. Chimwewe Padatha has more from the capital, Lilongwe.
Malawi is a majority Christian country dominated by Roman Catholics, who make up about 20% of the Christian community, according to a 2018 population census. Many Catholics, including Catholic Church leadership, say they are struggling to follow through with their mid-December announcement by the Vatican permitting priests to bless same-sex unions. The Reverend Valeriano Mtsega, Secretary General of the Episcopal Conference of Malawi, made up of the country's Catholic bishops, said the churches for now are still prohibiting same-sex blessings.
We have moral values to protect and cultural values as well, which have to go in tandem with the teaching of the church. So it's not being inflexible or not being rigid. It is first in nature. And so it can be taken on board or not be taken on board. So we have chosen not to take it wholesomely, that we have to bless people's same-sex union.
Some Catholic residents, such as Christopher Land of Lilongwe, Malawi's capital, also say they can't support same-sex blessings.
My stand is a big no to same-sex marriages. They're saying two things at once. Teaching says marriage between a male and female.
Several other Catholic churches in Africa, including those in Nigeria and Kenya, have also rejected the Vatican declaration. But despite that, some in the LGBTQI community who asked to remain anonymous due to security fears are hopeful and say they are eagerly waiting for the blessings.
In a country like Malawi, I know it's really going to take some time. If given a chance, I would go for it. But so much to say that I really don't see that happening the soonest in African countries.
The declaration has not only sparked debate among Christians, but also within human rights borders. Wanda Fumkuche, chairperson of the rights advocacy group Humanist Malawi, thinks the position by African churches like Malawi will likely change.
That's an idea that is going to be settling down among people in the country, not just the Catholic faithfuls. So in the coming years, we can see a change of stance by some of the members or even the leaders.
Changing minds may not be easy. In July 2023, religious leaders led street protests against homosexuality, which currently is a criminal offense within a maximum sentence of 14 years imprisonment. Pope Francis, in the days after the declaration, acknowledged the controversy and encouraged people to embrace change. Chimwewe Barata, VOA News, Lilongwe, Malawi.
Nigerian rescuers searched for injured people on Tuesday night after a huge blast in Oyo State shook buildings and sent panicking residents into the streets. The cause of the blast was not immediately clear, while local media reported that some building had collapsed. The explosion was heard in the Oyo State capital, Ibadan, 80 miles from the commercial capital, Lagos. According to Reuters, some residents said the blast shattered windows of their homes. And that's it for this Wednesday, January 27th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for coming aboard with us this morning. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Barty in Washington, wishing you will have a lovely day.
The 34th Africa Cup of Nations football tournament has kicked off in Ivory Coast.
keep it locked on VOA Africa for frequent updates on our radio, TV, and digital platforms. And check out voaafrica.com for exciting Nations Cup photos, videos, and stories. Nations Cup action right here on VOA Africa.